This morning, we're actually going to take a little break from our sermon series that we've been doing. I'm going to read from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. John 21, 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish? They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And this he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a confession to make this morning. It may come as a shock, but I don't always read the terms and conditions that I'm offered. I just don't do it. You know, maybe you've been there. iTunes asks you to update, and look, I just don't want to read through all that stuff. And maybe I'm in trouble. Maybe I owe a lot of money to somebody and I don't realize it. But I don't always read the terms and conditions. I'll never forget one time in college, my dad called me up and he said, "Paul, we're getting a lot of strange calls here at the house. We're getting a lot of information in the mail about credit cards, and what in the world have you done?" And I said, "Well, Dad, I think it was probably my third week of college, and believe it or not, there were some people offering free pizza. And you know what? I wanted that free pizza. And because of that, I didn't read the terms and conditions and signed up for a lot of phone calls and a lot of literature coming to my house in the mail from a lot of credit card companies. And let me just say, I learned very quickly from my dad to not do that anymore. It's a lesson I'm still working on, but believe it or not, I don't always read the terms and conditions. You know, years ago here at Brush Hill, it was during one of my favorite worship services. It was a youth Sunday. And during that youth Sunday, one of my youth stood up and said, you know, being a Christian is really hard. It's really hard. And I have to agree that sometimes being a Christian is really, really hard. It's hard to live in a world that in many ways seems opposed to Christ. And it's really hard to hang on to something so sacred to you when other people don't really treat it that way. It's hard to live in a certain way when other people don't really value what you value. And it can be hard for Christians. It's hard for us because I feel like oftentimes we can be kind of caught in between two worlds and two realities working within us. The old creation and the new. The old kingdoms and powers of the world and the new kingdom of God that's at work now. We find ourselves with our terms and conditions updated. And there's new terms and conditions that we need to read and know as disciples of Christ. And this morning, I feel like, as I read in this passage, that we're in a similar position as those disciples were shortly after Jesus was resurrected. They're celebrating this amazing thing that's happened, but they're also a little confused by the events of Easter. And they're trying to make sense of what does it mean that this man, this Son of God, bled and died and was resurrected. And what does it mean that for what God's doing in the world now? And as we approach our verses this morning, I originally was just going to stick to those verses 15 through 19, but I really wanted to read the whole passage. Because what we see here is that the disciples in this chapter are going back to what they know. They're going back to something familiar, right? We see Simon Peter, and I love that it calls him Simon Peter, because we have there his old name, Simon, and the new name that Christ has given him, which is mentioned over and over. We see Simon Peter going back, and he says he's going fishing. And maybe I put it a little more southern than he did, but he's going fishing. And it's something they were used to. They were fishermen, after all. And though Christ was resurrected, though he appeared to them a few times before these moments, it still feels like the disciples are caught in between their old life and their new. And specifically, Simon Peter, the ever-present voice of the group, the leader, it feels especially like that's the case for him. And the group goes along with him. Even though that just a few verses later, Christ had come to them and breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and commission them to go forth and tell people, we find Peter going back to what he knows. Maybe to a life that was safer, that made more sense, something he knew and something that he was presumably good at since it was his living, something that was comfortable. How much do you hear in his heart in those words, "I'm going to go fishing"? I hear a lot more in those four words than maybe they originally let on. And unfortunately for him and the rest of the disciples, they have a rough night on the lake. They have a rough night on the sea. They don't catch anything. Their old way of life just doesn't have the same kind of fruit that it used to. Until this man comes and stands on the beach at a distance from them and calls out to them and instructs them and blesses them, and to which they find themselves overflowing with fish. So much so that they couldn't even bring the fish into the boat. It was so much to harvest. They had to just bring the nets in the water to the shore. And in those moments when they realize that it's Jesus, Peter can't wait for these boats weighed down with the fruit of their old life. He has to jump out of the water. He has to put on his cloak first, then jump into the water and go swimming to be with Jesus. You know, why did he put on that cloak? It seems a little strange for us. I don't usually put on more clothes when I go bathing, but also this is a different time. I think that had something to do with it. But also, I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that Adam and Eve also had to go put on some clothes to be in God's presence after they had sinned. Maybe Peter didn't just quite feel comfortable going as he was before Christ. He needed something else. And so he goes to be with Christ, and they go and they have a meal, which is always a good way to start ministry, I think, to have a good meal first. Which leads to this conversation. And in this strange, kind of seemingly repetitive conversation that Jesus has, what do you all notice? You know, I noticed three times that Jesus asked Simon if he loves him. I notice three times Jesus allows Simon Peter to respond, and I notice three times that Jesus invites him to do something. We know that days or weeks earlier, Simon Peter had also been given three opportunities to express his loyalty and his devotion and allegiance to Christ, and to do it in a time when maybe Jesus needed it most. And we also know that when that happened, when that moment came up for him to make that choice of faith, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. His answer in those moments wasn't, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." It was, "I don't know him." And I believe that those moments weighed on his heart deeply and heavily. I believe that as joyful and happy and shocked as Peter was, looking at Jesus was also a little too close to looking in the mirror about what was going on in his own heart. The failures and the hurts that he still carried around. I believe that he had to just put on that cloak because he was afraid to let those come too close to Christ. And because being with Christ opened him up to those things that he was feeling inside that maybe he didn't even realize how deeply he was hanging on to them. And when he looked at Jesus and heard what Jesus had to say to him, he thought, I just can't do it. Has being a Christian or coming to worship or approaching Jesus ever just felt like too much for you because of things were going on that week? Maybe you just couldn't come here because it just opened you up to things going on in your life that were just a little too raw at the time. I know that sometimes coming to worship or coming to Bible study can do that because it can be really hard to talk about life sometimes. And I feel like just as we face that block today, so Peter did then. And yet, here in this setting, warmed by the fire with a belly full of food, Jesus invites him to do now what he couldn't do then. He invites him to tell Jesus that he loves him. He invites him to have another chance, and another chance, and another chance. Three chances, three new responses for the three old denials before the cross and resurrection. And I feel like, being in Jesus' shoes, how many of us, if we were in Christ's shoes, might just want to walk away from that situation? Might just want to walk away from somebody that wasn't there for us when we needed it? Wasn't willing to extend that grace or that opportunity to someone who had hurt us so deeply? And even though Jesus knew what was coming. After all, Peter had betrayed him and contributed to that pain I'm sure that Jesus had felt. And Jesus literally walked around with the wounds to show for it. But yet, Jesus knew that the terms and conditions has changed in this world. Because God had begun something new with Jesus, and the wounds of the old way, the old life, have now become signs of victory. Those things that he used to carry with him that hurt and brought up bad memories and brought up pain, now were signs of victory. There were signs of God's love and grace that had overcome those things. And he didn't just give Peter three opportunities to express his love and loyalty and get the weight off him, but he gave him three invitations to embrace the new calling, the new way of life that Jesus is offering him. Peter was not to go back to being a fisher. That was not going to be an option, and Jesus knew it. He was not going to go back to keeping Jesus at a distance on the shore, even though perhaps that might have been the comfortable thing, maybe even the natural thing, based on what he's feeling. Now, Jesus doesn't settle for that. He invited Peter into a new way of living, into our role in this new creation, that his resurrection has begun. For Simon Peter, he wasn't to go back. He was to be a leader, a protector, a guide, a witness. And Christ was inviting him into a new forgiveness, a new life, a new fruitfulness, and a new following within the kingdom that began on Easter when those wonderful women came running back and said, "We've seen the Lord." But the only way that Simon Peter could get there was through facing Jesus and allowing him into the very roots of his life, into the very roots of his pain, into the very roots of that forgiveness that he needed, and allowing Jesus to update the terms and conditions of their relationship. And that is the same for us. This morning and every morning, I believe that God is calling us to embrace a new way of life and a new creation that began on the cross and at the empty tomb so long ago. He is calling us to live a life offering grace and forgiveness, service, justice, and love to our neighbors. He's inviting us and calling us to find that new life in Him and to be shepherds now, to not go back to the way things were. And the good news about Jesus, which I believe Peter started finding out on this day, is that Jesus has changed everything. And He's changed not just the terms and conditions of His life, but of the whole world. The whole world. And Peter found out that if you want to live into that, it has to start with you. It has to start with you. As it's been said, you can't make a difference without becoming different. The old conditions say that you have fallen short of God, that change only comes through trying hard, and that mercy and love only come to those who deserve it. But years ago, those things were changed, written painstakingly anew by Jesus' shed blood on the cross. The conditions of life are rewritten because Jesus Christ has won victory over evil, over sin, and over the old world. Now there is no longer any condemnation in Jesus. No longer will the secret or not so secret evils have the last word. No longer will hate and hurt and everything get the last laugh. No longer is love and mercy to be shared only with those of us who deserve it. And thank God, because I wouldn't be here today without it. They're rewritten for us on how we relate to God and to others and ourselves. And Jesus wanted Peter to know that this is what resurrection means. This is what resurrection means. The first place that we are to follow Christ is within. Until you no longer approach or listen to Jesus from a distance, but surrender and speak and allow Christ to speak to you in the place that you are buried deep down within. And what is that for you this morning? Where do you need Christ to speak to you in your own sin, perhaps your own betrayal or denial, or perhaps in the place in your heart where you're harboring emotions that just are eating you up? As Simon Peter found out through Jesus' questions and invitation to be more, Jesus will meet you in that place. He will. He will, and when you allow Him to do that, and that is the key, Jesus is offering the invitation. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? N.T. Wright says about Jesus' question to Simon Peter, "Those who don't want to face that searching question and answer may remain content to help the world with its fishing. But those who find the risen Jesus going to the roots of their rebellion, their denial, and their sin, and offering them love and forgiveness, may well find themselves sent off to be shepherds instead. Let those with ears listen." As my student said, being a Christian is so hard, and it's hard in many ways. And one of those ways is that it involves coming face to face with how we might think of ourselves, we might think of the world, and we might think of our neighbors in the old terms and conditions, and how Christ is calling us to something new, and those two things are coming head to head within us. But meeting Jesus where we are hurt and stuck is exactly why He's here. The good news is that Jesus the Christ willingly gave up His life to the powers of sin within your life so that those forces would kill Him and not you. So that those things that we hang on to would kill Him and not us. And instead, He offers us that grace and that forgiveness and that permanent relationship with God Almighty that we need. And with His resurrection, He is inviting you into that path of healing. And it's only through Jesus. And being a Christian is hard because, unlike Peter, we can't sit down at the fire with Him physically like He did. Instead, we get to do that with one another. Instead, these things that Peter experienced, the Spirit works within the church. And so now we, instead of Christ, go to Christ within our neighbors, within our brothers and sisters, and we work out our salvation with the Spirit living within our church. And so my prayer for us this morning is that we would be a people who listen to Christ and hear Him when He says, follow me. Who hear Him when He says, follow Him. And to not, to sort everything in our life through those words. To sort everything in our life through those words. He's inviting us into seeing and participating in the kingdom of God that's at work now. And just as Peter found out, it can't happen without it happening to us first. Happening to you first. This morning, I'm so thankful for our church family. And I'm so thankful for all of you all. And I don't know if I do a good job of saying that enough to each other. I don't know. I think sometimes we can get in a routine of coming here. I know I can. And I forget sometimes to just take a moment and realize that God is calling me to work out this glorious new reality with you all and to tell you all that I love you and I care about you. And I thank you so much for all the grace and the mercy that you've shown me. And I hope that I've been able to show a little bit to you over these years. Because I think that's how we realize how good and wonderful and courageous and merciful God is. And so may we be a church that seeks the Spirit and seeks the Spirit that's dwelling within us so that we can see Christ and, like Peter, find ourselves living in the updated terms and conditions of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you so much for just not treating me as I deserve, Lord, for not treating my brothers and sisters as we deserve, but instead calling us to live a life of accountability and forgiveness and grace. God, I pray that that your Spirit would help us just draw near to you. Lord, to listen to the things that you are speaking to our hearts right now. And God, to not turn back to our old ways of life, but Lord, to accept your invitation into this new life you're calling us. God, help us to be a church that that seeks out true love. And God, not this thing that we make it, Lord, but the true, gritty, real love that brings us together. The true love that is so difficult, Lord, sometimes to lay hold of. And in fact, I think it's impossible without you. But God, may we live our lives just built on you and built on those words to follow you into everything. And God, may we sort out our own hearts through your love and obedience. And God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in the world, and because God, we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of this amazing thing that you're doing, bringing new life through Jesus our Lord. And God, we thank you for establishing that, not on our feelings, not on our actions, not on anything else, but the blood of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Lord, may we know these things, and may it change our lives, beginning today, this morning, Lord, with me and with all those here. In Christ we pray. Amen.